We welcome you to Wesley United Methodist Church. We particularly would like to welcome our podcast congregation at this time. We have many congregations from all over the world that listen to our podcast regularly. And so we ask God to bless your Easter worship this day as well. Happy Easter. That's an Easter blessing. All right, we're going to finish in chapter 20 in John, following along. Now, Mary has noticed that the stone was rolled away, and then she went and got the disciples and brought the disciples over to see what was going on at the tomb. But, you know, they left and went home, and that's where we pick up. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God today. Thanks be to God. So I recently purchased a new cell phone. Not an iPhone, but it's a smart one anyway. I think that when I learn how to use it, that I will be able to video chat with our sons in California. But I haven't gotten that far in the instruction manual yet. But I have this friend. It's one of those people that you go to for technology speak. You know what I'm talking about? And he's not in his 20s. He's actually in his 70s. And I asked him what kind of apps I should put on this phone. And he recommended one to me called the Night Sky. And no lie, you hold it up in the dark outside at night facing the sky, and it recognizes the constellations and stars for you. It tells you their names. I mean, this is just amazing to look at. Imagine if there were an app that we could hold our phones up anywhere and it would recognize Christ for us, giving us all the details and activities, showing us who was close to Jesus and those far away. See, Mary went wandering to that empty tomb that first Easter morning, unable to leave the site of Jesus' burial. And if you've ever buried anyone, you know how hard that is. At burial sites, we look for signs, we listen, and we hope. It says that Mary saw two angels in white who asked her why she was weeping. And then, in verse 14, it says, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus was right there, standing with her, and she didn't recognize him. How often are we looking and hoping for a sign, and yet we don't recognize how God is at work in our lives? I'm going to tell you a true story. During the height of his popularity and ministry, Billy Graham went to speak at an open-air revival. It was a three-night revival in Nova Scotia, up in Halifax in Nova Scotia. And he had arrived a day early. And he arrived and decided that he would go and listen to the preacher that night. And so he kind of went incognito. He put on sunglasses and put a baseball cap on. And no one really recognized him. He sat in the grass in the very back of the crowd. But directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening really intently to the preacher that evening. And when the preacher finished and invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little personal evangelism. He tapped the elderly man on the shoulder and he said, "Would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want." And the old man looked him up and down, thought it over for a moment, and said, "Nah, I think I'll wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night." Mary did not recognize Jesus. Mary thought Jesus was one of those guys who tends the cemetery. She thought he was a plain old gardener. A gardener? John's gospel is brilliant. It sends us straight back to the creation story in the garden where God tended all of creation. The garden is where God created. The second and third chapters in Genesis describe this garden in detail. In creation, God set up boundaries, right? God held back the waters to make the sky, and he separated the night and the day. God told Adam and Eve about another boundary. They weren't to eat the fruit off the tree of knowledge. So here in John, the gardener of grace was creating. God rolled away the stone. A new boundary, a new order had come into existence. God is free to move even beyond death in this new order. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's work. Christ fulfills all of Scripture. God is fully free in Christ. And God gives humankind that same freedom through the resurrection. In Christ's fulfillment of Scripture, we see him as the sacrificial lamb of the Passover. He's the water springing forth from the rock. He's the bread coming down from heaven. He's the word of God that does not return empty but accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. He is the good shepherd leading people to green pastures and still waters. Christ is the new covenant. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. You see, all of Scripture is fulfilled through him. The Apostle Paul called Christ the new creation. So if you think about it, God created in 7 days. Christ is the new creation. Christ is the 8th day of creation. The garden has been restored. What humanity broke has now been reconciled by God. Now, there were 2 trees in that original garden. There was the tree of knowledge from which Adam and Eve disobediently ate of its fruit. But there was another tree in that garden, the tree of life. And in this creation story, the cross becomes that tree of life. All are given eternal life through that tree. How this happens is a mystery. And yet, the mystery that sustains this tree of life is love. Love. God gives over to suffering and dying because of love for the world, for all human beings. Not just 1 or 2, not a certain select culture or nation or tradition, but all human beings are accepted by God, the gardener of grace. And all human beings are judged by God through this love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I want you to listen up for a minute. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian, a German Christian, who during the time of the Holocaust went and in solidarity remained in the death camps with the Jews in Germany. And out of that time, he wrote some magnificent things. He wrote that to be human is to be accepted by God, judged by God, and reconciled to God on the cross. He suggests that only the crucified human is at peace with God. Only the crucified human being is at peace with God. What does that mean? I don't think it means that we have to suffer to know peace. I don't think that God intends for us to submit over and over again to the rejection and hardship that the world and the principalities and the powers pour out upon us. I don't think that it means that being on the receiving end of abuse will bring us peace. But I do think it means that we all struggle within our human limitations. We all struggle with rejection in this broken world. If you want to think about it, I'm going to give you an interesting analogy here. That living in a human body is kind of a confining experience. I mean, think about like a hermit crab, right? A hermit crab, when it outgrows its shells, it goes into the next shell, and the next shell, and the next shell, right? Well, we start in a confined space. The medical terminology for pregnancy is called confinement. We start and begin, our lives begin in this womb, in this very confined space, and we are set free, we are delivered, born into a family, and contained there until we are set free to live and work in the world. Then we live within the limits of our workplaces, of the what we've been given to do, and the people with whom we share our lives with. When we retire, we again are set free to new possibilities. Our physical death also sets us free because of Christ. We are given an eternal life. And because of that, because of the resurrection, that eternal life isn't to wait for our physical death, it's to begin now. The world would rather keep us confined. Most of us struggle with that on a daily basis. I think the church struggles with that, right? Jesus Christ is not confined to the church. God is a free God. It's kind of what makes him so hard to understand at times. There was an Italian psychiatrist who wrote the following parable. There were three stonecutters, and they were building a cathedral in the 14th century. And when the first stonecutter was asked what he was doing, he replied with bitterness, "I am cutting stone a foot by 8 inches day after day after day." The second stonecutter replied, "I'm earning a living for my beloved family, for my children. My children have clothing and food on the table, and they're growing strong, and my wife and I have a home which we fill with love." And the third stonecutter said in a joyous voice, "I have the privilege of building a great cathedral so strong that it will be a holy lighthouse for 1,000 years. Are you cutting stones for today? Or are you counting on the resurrection? Christ experienced suffering and rejection and did not allow the human experience to end there, But through an empty tomb, Christ sets us free today and every day. Jesus Christ was the crucified and the judged and was raised to new life. God judges not by worldly success or failure, but by our willingness or our ability to be accepted and judged by the love of God, no matter what our successes or failures are. You know, it's not bad to be successful unless we allow pride and power to permeate our existence. It's not bad to have failed unless we allow pain and suffering to become our way of life. So here's the thing. Being accepted and judged through God's love is to be awakened to new life. It is to be resurrected. We become a new person when we accept the love of God through Jesus Christ. And we become a new person when we accept the judgment of God through the love of Jesus Christ. We become fully human through love. We are fully human, just as God created us to be, living fully in relationship with the gardener of grace. The power of death has been broken by the gardener of grace. We don't need to be confined by our egos or our experience. We don't need to be confined by our health or our illness. We don't need to be confined by our work or our unemployment. Only life, and life in abundance, flows through the empty tomb. The empty tomb sets us free from human limitations, from success or failure, and from sin or tragedy. Mary heard the gardener call her by name. For the ancients, the giving of one's name established relationship. Mary, Jesus called, in the full knowledge, through a living relationship, when he called her name. Mary recognized Jesus. She knew he was the risen Christ. She knew him through real relationship. We don't need a special app on our cell phone. All we need is Jesus. When we truly recognize our Redeemer, we, like Mary, hear our own name called by the divine to be as he created us, fully alive in the awareness and abundance of life. We celebrate Easter, the stone rolled away, because we have been set free. Christ sets us free. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.